This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg. American Airlines mechanics are threatening the bloodiest, ugliest battle in labor history, says President of the TWU, John Samuelson.
First, we listened to John Samuelson as he spoke to the American Airlines CEO, Robert Isom.
You were given broad management prerogatives that you never had before by a bankruptcy judge, even though at the time you had billions of dollars in the bank. You just yourself said that you made $3 billion. You've done this with all of the concessions that you grinded out of us through that concessionary deal, and even with that, you're still making $3 billion. So what is the desire on your part to increase that profitability? You intend to execute work rules, scope changes that would allow you to increase dramatically off the $3 billion that you're making off the backs of your unionized workers. And that's never going to happen. I stand here to tell you in front of this whole room, in front of everybody, anybody who's listening, that you're not going to get what you want. And if this erupts into the bloodiest, ugliest battle that the United States labor movement ever saw, that's what's going to happen. You're already profitable enough. Start thinking about your own workforce. Don't think about where you're at in terms of profitability. $3 billion, and you're looking for more concessions, and these concessions are off of our backs. That's simply not happening. And you said a very interesting point before about mediation, negotiation, and perhaps we'll get to a point where there's self-help. I'll leave you with this. If we ever get to a point where there's self-help, we are going to engage in absolutely vicious strike action against American Airlines, to the likes of which you've never seen, not organized by airline people, but organized by a guy that came out of the New York City subway system that's well inclined to strike power and who understands that the only way to challenge power is to aggressively take it to them. We're going to shut this place down because we're going to defend our members. We're going to defend future generations of workers that want to be employed, our children, our grandchildren. Not all of us go to college. Not all of us become CEOs in the airline industry or CFOs. We are going to preserve these jobs. And in order for you to accomplish your business plan, you're going to have to run over our scope protections, and we're not going to let it happen. So I think the quicker that you realize that and the quicker you get back to the bargaining table and have a serious conversation within the confines of the knowledge that I'm never going to sign a agreement that actually sells everybody down the river, it's never going to happen. So I think that you need to take what everybody's here is saying very seriously. Every union person in this room is with me. You're making massive profits, and we're reeling. We're reeling. We're still suffering under a 2003 agreement and a bankruptcy agreement in 2012. You don't, simply put, I actually don't believe that we're miles apart. I believe we're a couple of inches apart and miles deep because of your entrenched belief that your business plan will eventually take effect if you can wear the union down. It's not going to happen. We've been in fights with powerful people before, perhaps more powerful than you, are looking to inflict major harm on our work groups, and we're not going to let it happen.
We're pleased to have with us President of the Transport Workers Union, and that is John Samuelson. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
President Samuelson, that was a pretty ferocious speech and no doubt necessary. So tell us, to begin with, the issues that are drawing you to this confrontation with American Airlines. What are the issues for the new contract that they are not in good faith in the negotiation process around?
Well, the primary issue I was talking about there with his business plan, Isom, the president of American Airlines, is their desire to perform more mechanical maintenance on jet planes, passenger jet planes that our families fly on overseas. In fact, in some places that are downright dangerous. There's some other issues as well. There's issues related to benefits and pension. But if the issue of the American Airlines trying to ship our works overseas was resolved, everything else would fall into place.
Could you just elaborate on that a little bit more? How did that come up? What exactly are they proposing? To what extent are they really talking about contracting out U.S. work overseas? What percentage?
So believe it or not, it's the dirty little secret of the airline industry. Passenger aircraft, that regular everyday working people get on every day with their families, are for the most part overhauled off U.S. off U.S. territory. And JetBlue, for instance, does them most of their overhaul work in Central America and South America. Delta has done a ton of overhaul work in China. And American Airlines right now is the only airline left that performs the majority of their work on U.S. soil. And that work is TWU work and IAM work, our labor partners. So they believe that, I guess because everybody else is doing it, that they're going to do it too. And the problem with that is that they made $3 billion last year, as I said in that little debate with their president, Isom. They made $3 billion doing the work on U.S. soil. They don't need to export these jobs. And they're looking to win language that would allow them to send about 4,000 jet mechanic jobs overseas. The work would just disappear, and it would be done by people making a buck or two an hour in foreign countries with no licenses, no criminal background checks, none of the regulatory requirements being met that are in place right now on U.S. soil.
John, you also mentioned other issues, and there are other people involved besides just the mechanics. So if you want to talk about who we're talking about and what some of those other issues are also.
And there's like 31,000 mechanics, right? So this is in addition to the 31,000.
No, the mechanic. There's about 30,000 workers in the unit, TWU and IAM. So we have a partnership, an association that's jointly squaring off right now against American. So it's not only mechanics. In fact, the mechanics are not the majority of the work group. The majority of the work group are what we call fleet, which includes baggage handlers and non-mechanic titles employed at American, blue-collar titles. So we're defending really 30,000 jobs. With the mechanics, they're looking to send the work overseas. On the fleet side, they're looking to outsource work to minimum wage workers. Our folks have solid blue-collar jobs right now, the kind of jobs that neighborhoods all over the country are built around. And so it's a big fight, and it's a just fight, and it's a fight I'm actually enjoying.
Wait a minute, enjoying?
Yes.
Why? Is it about time that the workers flex their muscles no matter what? Do you think labor gets an unfair shake, and organized labor in particular in this country?
Well, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And when I say enjoying the fight, I'm standing in a room at LaGuardia Airport with the president of American Airlines. His partner is the CEO, a guy named Doug Parker. They have more money than they can ever spend in their lifetime, and so they're just two kind of frat boys that think they're going to steamroll their workers, and they're just not going to do it. And this is what people like me get into this business to do, to fight people like them. And so it is, I'm enjoying the fight.
So what is the status of negotiations right now? Are there negotiations right now?
There aren't negotiations going on currently. We're embroiled in this lawsuit. They've made allegations, which are actually not true, that we've orchestrated work stoppages across the country. And so they've sued us. They're trying to enjoin us, and they have us in federal court. So tomorrow there is a mediation in Dallas, Fort Worth, a mediation to see if the actual lawsuit can be settled. If that fails, there's another mediation a week later, and then there'll be a court case sometime in early July based on to hear the allegation that they're making against the union that we're violating the Railway Labor Act by engaging in slowdowns. So we're not doing that, and if there are delays on American Airlines flights, it's because the company's incompetent, the leadership is incompetent, the corporate leadership is incompetent. So we're not really bargaining right now. We're going through this process of mediation to settle this federal lawsuit.
It was pretty dirty pool that they immediately engaged in a federal lawsuit. But I think our listeners need to understand more about the Railway Labor Act and why workers who are in the process of fighting for a better contract don't have the right to initiate some action. So in order to really show some muscle and strengthen their hand at the bargaining table. So tell us more about the Railway Labor Act and what's called a self-help help situation and why right. that is presumably, and I always say presumably, prohibited.
Well, under the Railway Labor Act, there's a process, and that process can actually lead to what Isom himself, during that little discussion, referred to as self-help, which means that the company can impose the contract and the union can strike, not accept the contract and engage in strike action. So there's a process laid out, but until that point of release is made where the government releases both parties for self-help, we're not allowed to engage in job actions. And in fact, we haven't engaged in job actions. But there is an end game that Isom himself referenced, and that end game would lead us to what I described as crippling strike action against American if we get released. The likelihood of getting released for self-help is very, very slim. I cannot see the U.S. government allowing the biggest airline in the world, maybe in the history of the world, to be shut down. Because if we do strike them, they will get shut down. It'll be a successful strike.
Now, there are other unions at American Airlines. Are they supporting you?
Yeah, so we have our immediate partners, the IAM. We have a very, very solid relationship. There are other unions. The CWA is on the property. They've sent out letters of support and even outrage at American Airlines over the actions that they're engaging in. The flight attendants and the pilots both have independent unions, solid unions. We have strong partnerships with the flight attendants and the pilots. So there's labor solidarity across the board at American Airlines. And there's also a recognition by every trade union on the property that American Airlines is run by a couple of dastardly fellas, Isom and Robert Isom and Doug Parker.
John Samuelson, I also want to ask, since we've mentioned the question of support, I understand that Vermont Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has also criticized the legal action of the airlines against the union. Talk about that and the other support that you have drawn in.
Well, so Bernie has been, I've talked about this situation with Bernie. He's been very supportive. He's been very supportive of, to tell you the truth, of all the fights that we're in. He's never not returned the call for assistance from us. And in this case, he's correctly assessing that American Airlines is rich enough and that they need to settle this contract. So he's on the side of the workers, and that's a good thing.
Now, I just want you to again mention something about the profitability. That really always has to be stressed. Talk about this enormous airline and the kind of profitability and their absolute stinginess, both in terms of the benefits, which you said were somewhat secondary, but nevertheless are critical. And then, of course, the idea that they want more. They always want more by farming out the work, contracting out the work abroad now. So tell us who these people are. Who is Isom? What kind of profits are coming into this industry?
Well, Isom's the president of the company. A guy named Doug Parker is the CEO. They're partners. I'm not sure they get along. Neither of them are very likable, so I don't think they like each other, to tell you the truth. But nonetheless, they're running a company that made $3 billion last year. In that discussion at LaGuardia Airport, which is now a couple of weeks ago, Isom, he bragged about making $3 billion. And he's forthrightly told me that they don't believe that that's enough money, and therefore they've adopted a business plan that would shift the work being done in the United States overseas. So that's their plan. $3 billion isn't enough. That was the main point that I was hitting him with in that debate, that he believes $3 billion is not enough. He's out of his mind, and they want to increase profitability not only off the backs of their workers, but by doing work in a demonstrably less safe way overseas. So it's demonstrably and objectively less safe when it's done overseas than it is on U.S. soil.
And where does this also fit in with? I know that I was reading an article recently that was not that was germane to this, around JetBlue's flight attendants voted to unionize, etc. So talk about how important this job effort, this negotiation which is so limited in terms of, because of the Railway Act, what workers can do and how that fits in to the broader industry and efforts to unionize.
Well, we organized those JetBlue flight attendants joined the Transport Workers Union about one year ago. And we're bargaining a contract for them right now, and we're getting closer to that ever-so-important first contract. But in terms of the entire industry, I think this fight against United, I'm sorry, this fight against American Airlines, I'm sure somebody's fighting United Airlines as well, just not me.
Yes.
This fight against American Airlines is galvanizing airline workers all over the country. We're growing right now. We're organizing in the airline industry. We have a very robust organizing effort underway. We're organizing other workers at JetBlue now, and to tell you the truth, partly because of this fight with American, and partly because of other very public fights that we've had, we actually have more workers calling to join the TWU right now than we have organizers to help them organize. So we're in the middle of hiring organizers right now, just because there's so much opportunity for us out there. Workers are definitely coming together. They're standing together. They realize that the trade union movement is the vehicle to protect their economic security, and they're signing up.
That's terrific. And so in terms of the fact that there are no meaningful negotiations going on, what is the TWIAM Association doing in response to the failure to negotiate in good faith at this juncture?
All right, so we're running a strategic campaign against American. We've engaged in tactical efforts in the past, over the past couple of years, and that's brought American back to the bargaining table. So they come back to the bargaining table to make the campaign stop, and then they bargain in bad faith and hope that we lose our momentum and won't start the campaign back up again. But just today we have a full-page ad in the Wall Street Journal which is directed at their investors, explaining to their investors that there's problems at American Airlines. And so today's Wall Street Journal ad kicked off a campaign which is not going to stop now until we get a contract, a well-thought-out, sophisticated, strategic campaign with a whole lot of tactics, and some of them that I just don't want to talk about because I don't want to telegraph punches to American Airlines.
Well, you know, one of the other things, is there any thought, do you even have the time to think about it now, about abolishing the Railway Labor Act, which clamps down on workers and makes it illegal, in quotes, to engage in any kind of job action, any kind of slowdown that one needs when one is working against a recalcitrant owner, a CEO that has no consideration, no concern for either the workers and certainly not for the public as well?
So the Railway Labor Act creates a pathway to take strike action. The problem with the Railway Labor Act is not so much the act itself, even though it does prohibit job actions. If there's a real pathway to self-help that allows workers to take strike action against their employer, then it's functioning the way it was intended, and that's okay by us. The problem is that somebody like Trump very likely will not allow the TWU to engage in strike action against American Airlines. And not only Trump, no Democratic president would either. So the problem with the Railway Labor Act is that it's kind of a bureaucratic slowdown. It slows down the path to a strike. But if it ultimately does lead to self-help, then it's an incredibly lawful weapon that we would have to take strike action against a company like American.
I can't help but go back many, many, many years to Michael Quill.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was pretty much to hell with you and I will do what I need to for the worker.
Something about the bloody judge or something.
Right. Well, that's because he was sentenced to jail.
Dropped dead in his black robe.
Yeah.
Right. And so for those who don't know, he was one of the really aggressive labor leaders of the TWU at... What, John, when was that?
The 60s.
60s, right?
Yeah, well, from the 30s to the 60s.
Yeah.
And he was willing to go to jail.
Before I was born, actually.
Yeah.
He was willing to go to jail. I just want to ask you one additional question, aside from what our listeners need to do to show support
exactly.
for their sister and brother workers. We're going to hold that for one moment, but I can't help but ask if there's any comment in response to Andrew Cuomo, who lambasted the TWU for allegedly destroying time clocks, and he just went rampant and vicious against the workers and the union of the TWU today and over the weekend.
Actually, I didn't see what he had to say today, but I've had my fair share of public back and forth with not only the governor, but with folks on the MTA board. More importantly, folks on the MTA board and executives at the MTA over everything, over this really kind of non-existent act of sabotage that they claimed the other day was the latest incident. And I've spoken to the governor about this. I've spoken to him about it. The governor, I believe, understands that when there's kind of bloated rhetoric that gets put out into the media, that transit workers become they become endangered, actually. You know, transit workers in New York City get assaulted 3-4 times a week. And if there's a narrative out there that New York City transit workers are fraudsters or thieves, it only increases the frustration and anger within the system. It increases the pressure in the system. And I believe he understands that, and he's been backing off some of those comments. And so I think at the end of the day, this whole idea that there's some sort of rampant criminality is not going to be proved out. It just doesn't exist.
So the issue of overtime, the issue of finances, it's not about sabotaging time clocks. It's about exactly what it is. Overtime for work that is necessary to do from the hardworking members of the transport workers union.
Yeah, it's not only the TWU though. We have our brother and sister unions at the Long Island Railroad and Metro North. So, in fairness, there hasn't been a focus on the TWU and New York City subway and bus workers. It's been on railroad workers, but nonetheless, even there's over 50,000 unionized workers, blue collar workers at the MTA. In their various agencies, on the rail, on buses, and in the subway. So if there's a handful of workers that actually engage in overtime fraud, there's processes in place to deal with that. But certainly to make broad claims about criminality is just it's an insult, and we've met those insults with appropriate aggressive kind of fight back.
So John, you'll give us a heads up if something's coming down in New York for us to support you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so talking about support, what do our listeners do in response to American Airlines who are threatening the bloodiest, ugliest battle in labor history? What do we do to support our sister and brother workers so there will not be a strike? What do we need to tell ISAM, the CEO? What do we need to do?
I think the message to ISAM and to Parker and to the corporate leadership of American Airlines is to keep jet mechanic jobs on U.S. soil, stop attacking our benefits, and settle a contract with the TWU. The irony of all of this is that American Airlines is probably, in my opinion, the safest airline to fly in the country, and that's because the TWU and the IAM does most of the work on U.S. soil right now, whereas Delta, United, JetBlue, they do their overhaul work overseas. They offshore the work. So this fight, this union fight, is actually a fight for working families that travel by air. And they should be outraged. And I said earlier on, it's the dirty little secret of the airline industry, and it really is. Folks get on a plane with their family, perhaps to go to Florida for a vacation. They would have no idea if that plane was maintained in China by somebody who was unlicensed, knew nothing about real jet mechanic work. And that's a fact, and people just don't realize it. I think the more that they come to realize that these planes are being maintained in areas of the world which really are far inferior to United States work, I think that the public would be outraged.
Well, it's a pretty pressing time to be dealing with this issue in terms of the safety of the public as well, and that's obviously a way to draw people into the process of supporting the workers. Fair negotiation, stop contracting out, give workers the benefits they deserve. You've got enough profitability. Share some of that with the people who actually create the worth of the airline.
Absolutely.
And the wealth, and that is the workers. President John Samuelson, thank you so much. You know you can count on us. We are the station here that will broadcast the message of the working class. So we're here for you.
Very much appreciated, and it was great talking to you again. It's been
great
quite
talking
some time.
To you.
Indeed. And we were speaking with President John Samuelson because American Airlines mechanics are threatening what we hope will not be, but the bloodiest, ugliest battle in labor history if they are forced to strike. American Airlines, get on board, stop contracting out, negotiate a fair contract. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.